Now listen carefully. When you mess up, when I mess up, when we sin, don't let the devil deal with your sin. You let Jesus deal with your sin. The devil will use it against you, and you become bitter, guilty, fearful, and you'll draw yourself away from the flock. And the predator would love to separate you from God's people, because that's when predators attack. The best thing you can do is when you feel at your weakest point is to get back to the shepherd.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, founding pastor of New Hope Oahu. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne showed us from Psalm 23 that there will be times in life when we walk through dark valleys. If that describes where you are right now, take courage, my friend. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, David and the Shepherd.
And they keep eating, looking for something else to eat, looking for something else to eat. And it's not long before they pop up and look, and their buddies are nowhere to be found. So they're eating, and all of a sudden, where did they all go? Now, they didn't go anywhere. You did. Then to find their way home, they start looking, thinking that they can follow a stream. And in the deserts, there's a thing called a wadi, W-A-D-I. A wadi is a dried up stream bed. Depending on how large the body of water was that came through that area, a wadi could be like cliffs on the side. But it's a sunken area that's dried out. So the sheep will go down there, and sometimes going down into it, they stumble and they get cast. When they're cast, they'll struggle, but they can't right themselves up. They need someone to help them. It's interesting. David uses that same word in Psalm 42 when he says, "Why art thou so downcast, O my soul? Why are you so troubled? Hope again in God, for he will restore you." And we will again praise him. When a sheep is cast, it's down. And if it doesn't upright itself soon, what happens is the building up of gases in the rumen start to expand. And if they're not uprighted soon, that sheep can actually asphyxiate or suffocate because it starts pressing on their lungs, and the gases build up to the point where they die. The other thing that happens is all of the blood drains from their extremities and their legs go numb. So what the shepherd does as he's scanning the flock and scanning the sky, he sees vultures. When he sees vultures, he starts counting his sheep. 99, I have 100. 88, 99, 95, 96, 99. I know where the 100th is. And he makes sure that the sheep are okay, and the shepherd takes off, because not only is a shepherd looking for vultures, so are predators. Predators don't attack sheep when they're with the flock because the shepherd's there. They attack sheep that have strayed. And the shepherd starts going after that, looking for that one sheep, keeping an eye on the flock, going after that one. When he gets to that one that is cast, he quickly turns it upright so it can expel the gases. And then he starts massaging its extremities to restore circulation. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The word righteousness in the Greek in the New Testament is an interesting word. It's orthopedeo. That's the Greek word for righteousness. It's from two words, ortho, which means straight, and pedeo, which is where we get the word pedestrian from. It's someone who is able to walk straight. So when you go to an orthopedic surgeon, he works on your what? Your legs. And so righteousness is the same word to walk straight. He massages that sheep's legs. And if it can't walk, because you and I know what it means to have an extremity go numb, like you sleep on it all night, right? You get up in the morning and your arm flops. Where'd my arm go? It was here last night. You can't move it. Well, because that sheep is the same way, he's got to restore circulation. Now, this is really cool. Then he takes the sheep to get it to walk, like after surgery. I mean, I had heart surgery, and I'm not even a day in the hospital, and they have me walk around the hospital. I said, I'm dying. No, you got to walk. You can't leave this hospital till you walk the whole floor. So I got an electric bike. And So he takes the sheep, and this is what he does. He puts the sheep between his legs and walks with it so that when the sheep stumbles, it stumbles onto the shepherd's leg, and he's able to be there to right it up again. And he keeps going until bah, and it boings off into the flock. But until then, he keeps them between his legs so it'll learn to walk straight. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he is with me. Some of those wadis, like a deep valley. And not only is a shepherd watching the sheep, so are predators. That sheep that was cast is under the shadow of the predators. And so David writes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because I could have died, I will fear no evil because you're there with me. And I thought, what a beautiful picture of the restoring grace of God. When we violate God or go away from the shepherd, intentionally or not, if we're away from him through ignorance or immaturity, you're still separated from God. And the word sin is not a religious belittling kind of word. Did you know that the word sin is actually an archer's term? When you shoot archery, and you miss the target by one concentric circle, the nomenclature is you're one sin off, two sin. That was the old way of saying how far off you were. They would look through a glass and they go, you're one sin right, two sin right. And so it's kind of like with snipers, one click, two clicks, same kind of thing. And so when the Bible adopted that nomenclature, it's just you're off one sin, Wayne. You're off two, you're off three. And the wages of that, if you're missing God's bullseye, you're going to be separated. Because the word death has two meanings. It's a cessation of life, which means it stops, but it also means the separation from life. The wages of sin is a separation from God's best in your life. And so the shepherd comes and deals with that. Now listen carefully. When you mess up, when I mess up, when we sin and miss the mark, don't let the devil deal with your sin. You let Jesus deal with your sin. The devil will use it against you, and you become bitter, guilty, fearful, filled with stress, anxious, and you'll draw yourself away from the flock. You may have been betrayed or belittled, or someone said something that you didn't like, and you say, I'm not going to go around those people anymore. And the predator would love to separate you from God's people because that's when predators attack. You're most susceptible when you're off alone, not when you're with near the shepherd. So he's going to do everything he can to dupe you into, whether it's bitterness or offense, shouldering an offense, to separate you. Now you're vulnerable to the antics of hell. The best thing you can do is when you feel at your weakest point, is to get back. Even though it works against your flesh, get back. Because the reputation of the church is not upheld by individuals. The reputation of the church is based on one person. His name is Jesus. Get back to the shepherd. Get back. But the shepherd's so kind. His loving kindness or his mercy is great. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you're with me. Next verse is also really precious. You'll love this. Let's read it together. Go. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Shepherds would carry in the oldest times a staff that had a crook on one side and a rod that would be like a javelin. They would have both. Today, it's one and the same. They have one. But a lot of times in the desert, walking up and down the hills, because they traverse a lot of territory, they would have two, almost like a skier's poles. You'll see hikers with hiker's poles. So it just helps them keep stability when they're walking. But each one of them has a purpose. A staff. Staff that had a crook on an end was just an extension of the shepherd's arm to give comfort, assurance, to give a sense of, you're here, you're okay. It's just an extension of his arm. So if a sheep was walking a little close to the edge, he'd just hold the staff like that and keep the sheep a little closer. It's a beautiful, wonderful, comforting kind of thing, that your rod and your staff. But it's not only the staff that comforts the rod. Now, the rod has a different purpose. Today's shepherds, it's one and the same. It's just a straight stick. That's what he has. This thing here is like a javelin. Now, the Bible says, you go before me and you prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. When the sheep have foraged this area here and it's all eaten down, the shepherd has to find another place for breakfast tomorrow. That's gone. So they move. So the shepherd goes before them to find another place for tomorrow's breakfast. And by the way, shepherds, Bedouin shepherds, will be moving all over the desert, even today. That's why you'll notice shepherds don't build houses, they build tents, because they have to move all the time. It's based on the food supply for the sheep. And it's much easier to move a tent than to move a house. So they have tents. Now, when the sheep are eating, the shepherd will go and he'll find another place. And in Israel, finding green grass is not very easy because most of it's desert. So sometimes it's a mile away. So sometimes he'll go, and if as an under shepherd or someone else to stay with the flock, he'll go and find another place. When he does, he's excited because that's tomorrow or the next week's food. What the shepherd does, the first thing, is he'll go through the herbs. He'll go through the different areas of grasses, and he'll start picking like a gardener. He'll start weeding it to take out the toxic herbs, because there's herbs such as loco weed or hemlock or others that would actually kill the sheep if eaten. So he'll go through and prepare a table before me. Now, out there, of course, are predators. Before the presence of mine enemies, he's out there cleaning it up so the sheep can eat freely without fear. Here's the cool part. The sheep come into this area and they start eating. And the shepherd is watching. Now he notices that there's one toxic herb that he did not pull up, loco weed, and if they eat it, they go loco. And so that's why they call it that. So he watches and he sees one, and there's one of his sheep about to eat it. He can't run there fast enough to stop the sheep. He can't say, excuse me, that will be ill for your health, so that therefore please don't eat that. No, he just takes this rod, and he's an accurate javelin thrower. And he will take that thing and he'll fling it through the air, and it'll knock that sheep in the ribs. Bah, and it'll run off. And I'm sure that sheep would go to his buddies, hey, George, bah, he just hit me in the side with that bad thing. He just bah. And he won't understand, but listen carefully. It's better to get a bruise from the Lord than a coffin from the devil. The devil wants to take you down, your family down, your ministry down, your future. But Hebrews says this, even as a father that loveth his son will discipline his son, so too the Lord disciplines those he cherishes. And there's times you're going to be moving in on a relationship that the Lord's going to say, that's not what you want. And sometimes there's going to be a setback. Sometimes he's going to have to discipline us. And we get mad at God. We get mad at each other. We blame this. We blame that. We draw away from the church. We don't know what to do. We don't know what's causing this consternation on the inside. And we get mad and the devil just carves us out and sets us up for the enemy's attacks. When God disciplines you, thank him. He just may have saved your hide. God loves us. And when you come to Christ, remember, nothing happens to you. Everything happens for you. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The last verse, I think, is the best. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. In the evening time, he has to find a place for the sheep to safely bed down. So sometimes he finds a cave in the desert that maybe it's limestone like this, and there's rocks everywhere. And so what he does is he builds a little stone wall in the front area with a little area there as a gate, as a place for sheep to come in and out. Everything else is just walled maybe this much with rocks. Guess where he sleeps? Right in the gate, right in the doorway. You've heard the saying, over my dead body, right? Well, it may have come from a shepherd's colloquialism because he is there in the doorway. No sheep will come in or go out without his knowledge unless he's dead. So he sleeps there. But before the sheep bed down, knowing that the sheep are going to come in and lay down and ruminate and digest everything they ate in the last hour or two, he puts up a stone. Next to him is a jar of olive oil. Next to that, clear, cool water in a bucket or whatever. And he takes each sheep and he looks for two things, dehydration. And the second thing he looks for, flies. What? Flies. You see, because sheep have a lot of wool, if there's an area in the back that have feces or urine, or if there's a cut around the ear from running into something, because sheep have bad eyesight and they could be foraging and boom, hit a rock, there's a cut there, flies will burrow in on that and actually lay eggs. Now, I know this is gross, but those eggs produce maggots. When those maggots hatch, little baby flies are produced. Now, because they're inside the sheep's wool and it produces lanolin, that's what wool sheep's produce, lanolin. You get oil and stuff, lanolin. That's what it produces. Well, the flies burrow into that, lay their eggs. When the little baby flies are hatched, they try to get out. Now, sheep's wool is maybe like this or like this, but if you're a teeny baby fly, it's like to the roof of wool, and you're trying to get out of this jungle of wool. And so they start buzzing, trying to get out. The sheep do not know if the buzzing is on the inside or the outside. It's just driving them nuts. So what sheep do is they actually go up to a tree and beat their head against a tree to stop the buzzing. In doing so, of course, there's lacerations and cuts, etc., and it causes more fly problems. It actually works against the sheep. So when that sheep comes in, the shepherd feels in, he can hear all of that. He takes olive oil and massages it in. That oil actually suffocates the larva and kills the flies and kills all the eggs, leaves a coat of olive oil on the inside. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. When he cleans that sheep up and anoints it with oil, he then takes a full ladle of clear water, and that sheep will drink that. And now it's ready to go in and lay down and rest. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This whole chapter is a beautiful declaration of David's trust in the Good Shepherd. And as we stay near to him, we will be protected. He will watch for us. He'll care for us. Let me finish with a story of knowing the shepherd. Jonesy, they called him, was a man in a church that was a Shakespearean actor. Bold, beautiful voice, round, theatrical, a thespian. Once a year, they would have a talent show, and they would invite people to come up and maybe sing a song, or young people will quote some verses. Well, Jonesy was asked to come up, and he said, "I'd like to share the shepherd's psalm." And people, "Ooh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." People, "Ooh, so good. He leadeth me beside still waters. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." Everyone's, "Ooh, he's so good." When it was done, everyone gave him applause. Well, then they had some kids come up and did some songs and things. And finally the pastor said, Billy's an old farmer. His wife had passed away a couple of years before, had a few kids, but he was just an old farmer. "Billy, come up and do something." "Ah, no," he'd say. "Everyone done it so well, I can't do any of that." "Oh, come on, Billy." "Oh, no. Well, pretty soon everyone going, Billy. So Farmer Billy said, "All right." He got up front and he said, "The only real scripture I know is what Jonesy just shared, 23rd Psalm." "Ah, just do it again." "Shucks," he said, "I feel embarrassed, but Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need." It wasn't easy 2 years ago to say that when Mama died. We were in the middle of harvest. We had to get the crops in. And the kids had to take off school. They were put back a year, but we got the crops in. The kids caught up. They did really well. God provided. And today I can say, the Lord is my shepherd. He provides everything I need. He leads me beside quiet waters. Oh, it wasn't quiet back then. When the freeze took our herd, they all died. We had nothing. I didn't know what to do. Then he looked around the room and he said, "Many of you, though, gave me a cow and calf pair to start our herd again. And it made my life quiet. God is good. He restored my soul." He continued like that. And when he was done, you could have heard a pin drop. Everything was quiet. Just then, Jonesy, the Shakespearean guy, got up. He went up to the front. He looked around. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I know the shepherd's psalm, but Billy, he knows the shepherd. And that makes all the difference. Today, I want you to know the shepherd. And when you know the psalm, you'll get to know the shepherd. And he's very good. He's very good." Can you say amen to that? Amen. Let's stand together. If you've never received Jesus, please do so today. I ask you to say yes to him. Because you see, we can stray intentionally or unintentionally from the shepherd, but he doesn't mandate your return. He offers it to you. God made his decision 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross. The next decision is yours, whether you'll accept that. Well, you say, how do you do that? Just with the around here, raise of the hand. All we're doing is saying, "Lord, I'm that one." Because it has to be a choice, not an intention, a choice. When you make that choice, heaven notices the heart behind that hand, and the adventure begins. And then you can say, the Lord is my shepherd.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled David and the Shepherd by Dr. Wayne Crudero, founding pastor of New Hope Oahu. Thank you for listening.
We would like to offer you a copy of Pastor Wayne's book, Dream Releasers. In its pages, you will find the inspiration and motivation to realize your full God-given potential. For your gift of $10 or more, we will send you a copy of Dream Releasers. You can give online at lifejournal.cc. Again, that's lifejournal.cc. God bless you.
Until next time, for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's richest blessings and aloha.